pastor.
Please take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We'll read verses 33 through verses 35. We're talking about Bible warnings against leaven. It's very interesting that many Bible commentators and preachers are preaching different messages about the same Bible text. I don't think that's a good thing. I think we ought to preach the right message, not the wrong message, right? And so we want to understand what the Bible has to say here about leaven tonight. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of a meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to understand the scriptures and what they so plainly and clearly say as we see comparing scripture with scripture. And we pray that we might also see what you intended for us to understand concerning leaven. Father, we know that there is a great deal of leaven in our world today, but we thank you so much that there is also the truth of your word that we have within our hands tonight that can guide us and lead us and show us the path that we ought to be walking in. And so, Lord, I pray that you might strengthen each believer here tonight, that we might look to you and follow in your ways for Jesus' glory. Amen. As we come tonight to the Bible warnings against leaven, I want us to identify some elements in the parable, and then I want us to look about what that leaven is doing today in this time that we're living in, the mystery kingdom age. Leaven is yeast that permeates and causes bread to rise until the heat of the oven kills fermentation. I don't know if any of you ladies bake bread or not, or maybe some of you men even do that, and there's something special about homemade bread, right? And I've watched my wife make bread from time to time, and certainly there is that process of yeast. It goes in the oven for just a little while, and then it finally goes in to bake, and that kills the leaven, okay? The yeast, and so it doesn't continue to rise, and all of those things. But certainly the analogy is a picture of leaven in the Bible is one of evil, sin, and false doctrine. This is always true in the scriptures. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, was speaking to a Jewish people, and these Jewish people would understand what the Bible had to say when Jesus was talking about these things, as Matthew is also writing to Jewish people here. And so they would go naturally back to the Old Testament. And what did the Bible have to say concerning the Old Testament and leaven? Let's go back there in the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 3. We find there that Lot is visited by two angels that are warning him he has to get out of Sodom. He has to leave immediately. And they come to visit in his home. And what kind of bread does he make for them? We find there, and he says, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. In other words, Lot did not provide leaven for the angels. He knew better than that. He was living in the midst of a great deal of leaven. Sin was abounding in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know that Sodom and Gomorrah is almost an equality to homosexuality today and all that goes on in that realm. And so Lot knew better than that to give that to holy angels. And so it was unleavened. We go to Exodus chapter 12, and in Exodus chapter 12 we find there that the Passover was taking place when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, and God told them that they were to remember this time of His deliverance with a Passover annually. And in that Passover, they were to have certain items that were to be there and certain things that were not to be there. And God tells them that they were to purge leaven from their homes and not to have it there within their homes. Leaven was to be not be a part of the Passover, because it would indicate that which would be evil. And then you move on to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 25. Exodus 34, verse 25. In Exodus 34, verse 25, it says, "Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning." In other words, they were not to mix that which was evil with blood. Blood in the Bible is a picture of Jesus' blood that was going to be shed for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness, for the deliverance from our sins. And certainly these blood sacrifices could have never typified the Lord Jesus Christ in His innocency, in His absence from all sin. In Him is no sin. And so, again, we find here that there was not to be any leaven in the blood sacrifices. In Leviticus chapter 2, if we go over to Leviticus, one more book, in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11, in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering unto the Lord made by fire." And so they were not to make these offerings with leaven. They did not want that picture of evil in their sacrifices. Then if we come to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 11, let's turn back to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 11. Jesus is speaking there, and he says that the leaven is identified as the false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning the bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Okay? The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees certainly had their hypocrisy. They had their legalism that somehow they could work their way to heaven by their good deeds and so on, and that made them better. And God said He was opposed to that because it's only by His grace that we are saved. The Sadducees certainly had a false doctrine, and they certainly were people there not believing in the resurrection, and they were trying to pin that on Jesus Christ and all that. And they were going through those things as well. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, we find there that leaven was referred to in the Pharisees as hypocrisy. And then as we see in the Apostle Paul's ministry, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So we've seen somewhat in Jesus' life. We've seen the Old Testament. Now we're going to see in the Apostle Paul's life, his ministry to the churches, how leaven comes back again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." We call that incest today. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, God was saying here that if they're going to allow sin in their membership and to allow it be there to fester, it's going to multiply to other people. Sin is contagious, folks, and we need to be mindful of that and not to allow that to grow within our body as a corporate church. We need to take our stand in those areas. And so Paul was urging that they would, you might say, excommunicate this man from the membership, but not permanently. That was for the fact that they would try to see that he would come to his senses and return. And so we know that leaven again was a picture of sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 7 and 9, it comes back in Paul's ministry to the Galatians. And Galatians chapter 5 verse 7, it said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Paul hadn't changed his tune, had he? He came back with the same chorus to these folk, that leaven is not something that you need to have. You need to take care of that before it begins to spread. And in the case of the Galatians, Paul was writing that the gospel was the grace of God. And these people were turning away from grace and going back to a system of works. And the circumcision and all of those things that the Jews held. And he said, that's not good what you are doing. A persuasion is something that exerts powerful and moving influence like leaven. It hinders men from obeying the truth of the gospel. And it expressly said that that which it is not from him which calleth you. So leaven was something to be put away. Certainly, it indicated corruption and evil. But I want to talk about the false teachers that are teaching some of these things that say that leaven is not evil. Okay? They're the men of the past and they're the men of the present. Dr. John Gill, I don't know how many of you have ever picked up any of, I don't know if Luke's ever read Gill or not. But some pretty heavy reading. I mean, this is pages and pages and pages and pages in theology and so on. But John Gill said, leaven is the gospel and its power. Now, how can the gospel and its power be what God calls is sin and false doctrine? That's not true. John MacArthur. Anybody ever hear of John MacArthur on the radio? Okay. John MacArthur is a pretty popular preacher today. Has the Master's Seminary out in California and so on. Has the radio program that's very popular. But he said, when the kingdom of heaven is faithfully reflected in the lives of believers, its influence in the world is both positive and pervasive. There is no evidence that leaven carried any connotation of evil or corruption. Now, folks, is that what we just read in the Bible? I don't think you got that out of the Bible, do you? Certainly that's wrong. And George Zeller, those of you that read The Feature from time to time know that The Feature devotionals, some of them are written by George Zeller. George Zeller said MacArthur's interpretation of leaven as being used in the good sense is post-millennial doctrine, indicating that the growth of the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel leads to the conversion of the world. Do we see all of the world coming to Jesus Christ tonight? Would to God it were so, huh? But it is not. It is not happening. They come one by one. And there are many people who reject the gospel. And so we know that what John MacArthur believes here and says that the leaven is that which is going to powerfully permeate this world and bring many souls to Christ and the kingdom, that is not there as well. There is also another group, and they are called Kingdom Now Theologians. They teach that the kingdom is now a present reality. Folks, if the kingdom is now a present reality, if that is true, are you a little disillusioned about what God had to say about the kingdom? There seems to be too much sin around yet, don't you think so? And we certainly see much of that today as well. Certainly, they see leaven as the progress of the kingdom in this present world. The false teaching that leaven is something good or the gospel has no basis of Scripture nor the reality of the world around us. This world is not the kingdom of the Old Testament. The kingdom of the Old Testament would be without the wars and would be without all of the sin. And those things that were going to be promised to Israel, Israel is fighting for their very, you might say, their very existence today. They're being crowded into a smaller and smaller space, it seems, time after time after time. But God said that they, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, that Israel in the kingdom, they would have from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates. They don't have anything near that in their land today. And so that is not the same kingdom. Certainly, we know that the gospel is not reaching everyone. Leaven cannot be the gospel. If this was the way the gospel works, there has been enough preaching in the United States and Canada to cause both nations to be entirely Christian. Folks, you are in a privileged nation. There are many countries who have never had the opportunity to hear Christian preaching like you have. Now, the internet has certainly opened up the gospel preaching to many areas of this world, but we don't see in many lands people just, as it were, crowding in and coming to churches and being there. I tell you what, I remember being in Europe as a missionary, and many of the churches were just dying. And people were not coming to church anymore. It was an unusual church if you saw more than a dozen people in it. Folks, are we privileged to have the gospel in this land? But it is not converting all of America yet. And we need more gospel preaching. But certainly, that is not true. And so if the leaven is the gospel, then it would have the effect, it shouldn't have the effect of puffing up. This is just the opposite of the gospel. The gospel, when it reaches the heart of a man, it causes him to be humble and contrite. Remember Jesus told about the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, look how good I am. And the publican would not even look up to heaven, but beat on his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me. What? A sinner. Certainly, that is not what was happening in the Corinthian church when they were being puffed up. So that's not true either. Certainly, as we think about it, if leaven is good, Jesus was wrong when he identified leaven as a false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus was dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom in Matthew 13. A mystery was something hidden in the past, but made known by God later. Galatians 3 verse 8 tells us that the gospel was already in the Old Testament. If you go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Was the gospel in the Old Testament? Can the Jewish people even see that there was coming a Messiah who would die for them in the Old Testament? You cannot get away from that and read Isaiah 53. Certainly that is so true. And so that is the first aspect as we look at this, going back to Matthew chapter 13, is the leaven. But how about the woman? What does she do? The Bible says, which the woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The action was of the woman was that she took, she did not receive the leaven and hide the meal. If this is what is going on, is the way God's servants are to preach the gospel? Is the gospel to be something that is whispered about? Does this mean that God is to ask his servants to be stealthy in some way, hiding those things? The gospel, if that's what it represents? This is not what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. He said, go and preach it on the housetops, the gospel, not to hide it. So that would not fit well with this parable that we find in Matthew chapter 13. Certainly, the 3 measures of meal, undoubtedly, if we think about that and think about the life of Jesus Christ, meal, when we're talking about meal, we're not talking about breakfast, dinner, a supper, whatever you call it, but we're talking about meal, we're talking about probably flour, okay, that goes into bread and that sort of thing. Jesus said, I am the what? The bread of life, okay? And so I believe that certainly when we talk about the meal here and what was going on, the leaven was going to come in, it was going to permeate the meal, the truth. The truth of God's word, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Those things were going to happen when sin would begin to permeate this world and go on and do those things. And so certainly the doctrine of Christ has been under attack. We talk about the fundamentals here in this church. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, right? We believe that Jesus Christ was not only born of a virgin, but that he lived a what? A sinless life. We not only believe that Jesus lived a sinless life, but we believe that he died a substitutionary death for our sins. We also believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. That's a fundamental of the faith. We believe that he ascended into heaven and that he is seated at the right hand of God, that he is interceding for us at this present time, and that Jesus Christ is coming again. Those are some precious fundamentals in the doctrine of Christ that we need to have in our hearts and in our minds. And yet those things are under attack today. And so there is this insertion of leaven that Satan has stealthily brought in to our world today. And as he has brought this into the world today, people are preaching a false gospel, and the fundamentals are under attack as well. Certainly, the truth concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ is also under attack. There's many that believe in the false teaching of baptismal regeneration, that somehow people, when they are baptized, they are made believers in Christ. That is not true. Let's take our Bibles and turn for a moment to John. To me, this is absolutely true. You can never be born again by baptism, okay? The only way we're going to be born again is by receiving Jesus as our Savior. But in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. In other words, it's not of your Christian heritage that you become a Christian, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, by doing good deeds and so on, nor of the will of man, what anybody can do of you, that you can be born again and come into the family of God. No, it is of God. And that is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for us. Now, I want to talk. I left this out of the message this morning, so you're getting leftovers from the morning message right now, all right? Back in the early days, of our country. Before it was ever founded, we had the pilgrims that came over from Europe, and they landed here in Massachusetts Bay and so on and so forth, and many of them were Puritans. And then we had those that were people that are like Biblicist Baptists today, and they believed in believer's baptism. They did not believe in baptismal regeneration. And there were three men that walked 80 miles to fellowship with a believer that was in their church. But this man that was in their church, his name was William Widder. And William Widder was a blind man. He was an invalid. And so he wasn't able to walk the 80 miles to Rhode Island to be in a church that preached the truth of the Bible. So they walked up there to have a service with him. And those three men were Pastor John Clark, John Crandall, and Obadiah Holmes. William Widder was tried in the Salem court on February 28, 1644, for entertaining that baptism of infants was sinful. Okay? This was what he was put on trial for. And on June 24, 1651, he was summoned to the same court for absenting himself from the public ordinances 9 months or more and for being rebaptized. And when Pastor John Clark and John Crandall and Obadiah Holmes arrived at the home of Widder, they spent the night with him in fellowship, and on the Lord's Day had a private worship service in Widder's home. This was seen as a crime of conducting services without the consent of the established Congregational Church of Massachusetts Bay Colony. All three men were imprisoned in Boston for the crime of holding a private worship service in a private home. Boy, is anybody glad we have freedom to be here tonight? What if our founders wouldn't have thought about that in our Constitution and Bill of Rights? They were tried on July 31st, 1651, for holding a private meeting and serving communion to an excommunicated person and rebaptizing converts. John Cotton, anybody heard of John Cotton back in the days of the Puritans? He was a famous preacher. The famous Puritan preacher shouted that they had committed a capital offense, something worthy of execution, okay? Yeah, he said they had denied infant baptism, thus were soul murderers. Cotton declared they deserved capital punishment, just as any other type of murder. Friends in Newport, the church that Pastor Clark pastored there, and that was biblical, their friends there raised funds for their release, which Crandall accepted. Holmes and Clark refused permission for their fines to be paid, believing it would be an admission of guilt. As Clark was led to the whipping post, a friend pressed money into the official leading him there, and Clark was released. Holmes believed payment of his fine would constitute an admission of wrongdoing. And so Holmes was left there to go to the place of flogging. And the flogger had a whip of three hard lashes, and he applied it to Holmes' back 30 times. That meant 90 gashes in his back. At the beginning of his scourging, Holmes said, "Though my flesh fail me, yet God will not fail me." And he prayed audibly, like Stephen of old, that the Lord would not lay this to their charge, and told the people that the Lord did not fail him, and therefore now he would trust him forever. He actually returned to Newport, Rhode Island on September 5th, 1651, and for 20 days he was unable to do anything but to sleep on his knees and on his elbows because of the pain in his back. And certainly Obadiah Holmes made a big impression on many people there in Massachusetts during that time. And one of the people that he influenced was Henry Dunster, then the president of Oxford College, now Harvard, was so stirred that he turned his attention to the subject of infant baptism and soon rejected it. And Dunster was forced to reign his presidency, or forced to resign his presidency, and arraigned in court for refusing to have his child baptized. Dunster declared that the covenant of Abraham was not the ground of baptism, and Dunster's conviction became the seed that planted the first Baptist church in Massachusetts Bay Colony. Isn't that interesting? Certainly, these men took their stand that the gospel was only through Jesus Christ and not through baptism, but it was only for believers. The infiltration of leaven today is still going on. Scripture indicates that false doctrine will increase as the church age draws to its conclusion, and it will ultimately culminate in the great apostate worship of Antichrist in the tribulation period. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Certainly, there is no hope of cleaning out the leaven that has come into many churches that have gone the way of apostasy. There is only one thing to do, and that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 is that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to separate ourselves from false doctrine. But there is hope. Hope even beyond the worsening conditions of the world, the instability of man's promises, and the uncertainties of the future of the seemingly fruitless life. The hope is in Jesus Christ, who made peace through the blood of his cross. And after you receive him as your Savior, you have the responsibility as a disciple to come out from the evil practices and the teachings of leavened, organized religion that is in our world today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that people might have understood these things, how that leaven is a picture of sin, but we thank you so much that Jesus came and provided a way that our sin could be cured and that we could have our sins removed once and for all by the precious blood of Jesus. And so, Father, we seek not a false hope, but we seek a certain hope in Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that day when we shall see him again, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just sing one stanza.